Verses 36 through 40, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, he responded, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You may be seated. In our relationship with God, we oftentimes reference this scripture as our instruction on how we should love God. We should love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, with every ounce of effort, we should give him our love, and that is so true, amen? We also use this passage to hit home the point of how we should love others. We should look to help others, talk to others about God, and be a witness, be a light. And that is also so true, but sometimes we really don't focus on the two little words in there, as thyself. We are instructed to love others as ourselves. And so tonight I pose the question, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Some of you are like, yeah, I sure do. The concept of loving oneself can easily go against our nature or our mindset as Christians because it deals with us. We're taught not to be selfish. We're taught not to, we shouldn't be so focused on looking out for number one as our society tells us, the scripture says otherwise. We're taught to esteem others higher than ourselves, to prefer our brother, and which is all true. That is so true. But what oftentimes happens is that we can shy so far away from anything to do with ourselves that we can emotionally and mentally become self-deprecating and make how God feels about us null and void. Loving myself means viewing myself as God views me. It's not defined by what I think or what others say or what the enemy says. Loving myself means viewing myself as God views me. The fact is that God loves us. Amen? God loves us to the point that when there was no hope for humanity, us being born in sin and destined for hell, that he robed himself in flesh and dwelt on the earth. He then became the propitiation for our sins by dying on the cross and shedding his blood that we might have the opportunity to have eternal life. He didn't do it for just a select few or only for the good people in the world. He did for everyone. He loves us. Romans 5:8 says, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16, Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And I'm so grateful. Are you grateful for the love of God, for him dying on the cross for your sins? I know I am for my sins. We know he loves us because he gave his life for us. The problem arises in the connection between the head knowledge, the facts, so to speak, and actually knowing it, believing it in our heart, making the head knowledge connect to the heart knowledge. Just because scripture says so, and we may in fact believe that God loves humanity in general, doesn't mean that we've connected it to the fact that we are indeed lovable. And that he means me when he says, God loves you. That if I was the only one, he would have still gone to the cross and died for me, personalizing it. Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19, he says, And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. May you experience so then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. If we could really get into our spirits and our hearts that he loves us, we would be complete, that we are truly lovable. See, God's love, it doesn't equate to our way of loving or our thinking as a human person. about love. Our human nature is to measure God's love by how one of us would love, or how we would feel like we should be loved or deserve to be loved. But the fact of the matter is, his love doesn't change. Isaiah 54:10 says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." He doesn't love you one day and not the next. He doesn't love you on your good days and not your bad days. See, this world is filled with inconsistent love. And maybe some of you grew up in a home not knowing if you would get a hug or you would be slugged. God isn't like that. God is 100% consistent in his love for you, his love for me. His love is also unconditional. He says, "I will always love you," and it is unconditional. You don't earn it. He doesn't say, "I love you if you're good," or "I love you if you do these certain things," or "I love you because you look this way," or "you were born into this family," or "this situation," or "you have this amount of money." Because what if you were unable to fulfill that condition? Then all of a sudden you're not loved anymore. But no, God says, "I don't love you like that. I love you consistently. I love you unconditionally." We never have to wake up in the morning and think, "God, are you going to love me today? Did I read my Bible enough today? Did I pray enough, Lord, to earn your love?" No, he loves us consistently, no matter who we are or what we do. It's a fact, but it's so much more powerful if we get it in ourselves that we are indeed lovable, no matter what we've done or no matter who we are. I am lovable. I am lovable. And when we truly personalize God's love for us and get it in our hearts that he would love someone like me, that I am lovable no matter who I am or what I've done, we can then genuinely love our neighbors. We're also able to express to others how God could love them too, despite all they've done and who they are and their lot in life. Another element of God's love is the fact that he will forgive us of all our sins if we come to him and repent and give those sins to him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Psalms 103:11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Isaiah 43:25 says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth all thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins." Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. If you repent, he will have mercy on you. Mercy is simply the withholding of judgment. Though we deserve death, as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, he has mercy on us and will forgive us if we come to him. When we come into salvation, we are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're changed. We become a new person. God forgives and forgets all our past. But the problem is that God doesn't take the mind eraser and remove those memories from our minds. He doesn't remember them, but yet we have to live life with those memories. And so the second element of loving yourself is to come to a place where you forgive yourself. You're looking back at all the mistakes that we make. It's so easy. Yes, we come to the Lord, but it's so easy to just, those memories come back. And the enemy is so it's a tactic of his that he's called the accuser of the brethren. And he fights tooth and nail to bring up that past, throw it on our face, back into our lives. He brings those sins or simply just mistakes that we made back to us, making us potentially feel worthless and start that self-deprecating cycle. "Well, I did this. And that must mean I'm just not lovable. We love ourselves when we forgive ourselves. We still have those memories, but let those memories be a powerful weapon in your arsenal, where if the enemy brings it up, you turn it back on him as just an example of how God good. Yeah, that's what I was one day. Yeah, that was the mistake I made. But God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. And devil, I'm not that person anymore. We can use it as a weapon. I am loved. I am lovable despite everything. When we walk every day in the Spirit, Romans 8:1 says that there's no condemnation. And so every day living in the Spirit, we can throw that back in the devil's face. Yeah, I did it. You're right. But God is merciful. Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. When we truly love ourselves in the area of forgiving ourselves, we can truly love our neighbors as commanded in Scripture. We're able to forgive, truly forgive them if they've wronged us. We can also love them by helping them see the forgiving power of God and help them to learn to forgive themselves. But first has to start with us. If we don't truly believe it, if we haven't truly forgiven ourselves, it's just words. And there's not going to be as much passion when you go to someone and say, you know what, I faced something and man, God has forgiven me and I've accepted that. And God can do the same for you in your situation. A third element of God's love is the fact that God wants to bless us. He wants us to live a blessed life. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Talk about a benefits package. Every day, he loadeth us up with benefits. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And this associates the third element of loving ourselves is standing on his promises and believing that God wants to bless me. The reality of our thinking is not that we don't believe he's not capable. You know, we hear scriptures. If you've been in church any length of time, we know the scriptures. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He wants to do all this stuff. And again, we can so easily come at it with a generic mindset that, yeah, God wants to bless his people. But we never internalize it and say, God wants to bless me. God wants to do great things in my life. And when we truly love ourselves and believe that he wants to bless us, again, we can truly love our neighbors and with full conviction tell them about God's desire to bless their lives. If we truly believe his blessings, he will bring peace into our lives. And then when someone is hurting, facing a terrible situation, we can go to them and with full conviction that, you know what? He's blessed me. He wants to bless me, and you know what? He wants to bless you in this situation. He wants to bring that peace that passes all understanding in your life. He wants to bring that job, that financial blessing. Why? Because he's blessed me as I've believed in his blessings and have followed his principles of giving and finances. We can truly love others as we love ourselves. And the final element of God's love that I'm going to talk about tonight is the fact that God wants to use us. He has a plan for our lives. There's a purpose for your life, for my life. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul explains to the church of Corinth how we are all parts of the body of Christ, how each one of us have a place and that every person is needed in the body. Every one of us is given differing talents, skills, abilities. Some of us can talk to anybody who comes in here, unashamed, not shy at all, have that ability and that strength. Others, that's not the task for them to be a greeter. But man, they can teach and they can help people understand. And they can get across concepts. Others are able to counsel with people. Some don't set them up as a counselor because they wouldn't have a clue, but they'd be good greeters. We all have a part. We all have a part in the body of Christ. And the final element associated with this of loving ourselves is coming to an understanding that God wants to use me. Again, we know that God wants to use us. But do you really believe in your heart and spirit that God wants to use me? Do you really love yourself? That God wants to use me? Matthew 22:14, and I made this point in the hyphen service on Sunday night. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Why are few chosen? Is it simply that they have not answered the call? Some of us have a playground mentality. Man, I'm always picked last. You know, no one ever like asked me to do things. Well, when was the last time that pastor got up and said, "Who can help me tear down this? We're having a wedding Friday." He called everyone. And who raised their hands? He's like, "Okay, you. He chose them. Why? Because they answered the call. Is it simply that God is calling all of us to do something? But we're like, "Well, I'm not going to come unless someone comes to me personally. Says, Phil, you know, will you help clean the toilets? Because you are awesome." No, if Brother Hop and those, I know Sierra and Jordan help clean toilets. If they're sick or unavailable and Brother Grant gets up, who will clean toilets this week? Who's going to answer the call? And that's just a simple example. But is it simply that we haven't answered the call, so we're not chosen? He wants to use us. It's not a like, "Man, I'm the last picked on the playground." He wants to minister through you. He wants to touch someone through your life. And when we truly love ourselves and believe that he wants to use us, we can help others see that God has a purpose for their life as well. I asked Sister Dolly if I could use this story. She posted something on Facebook that touched me and really speaks to this. She said, "I met a kid in a PO's office, parole officer, I'm assuming. I met a kid today as I was advocating for one of my kids. This young man made me remember why we need to put our noses to the grind and seek and save that which is lost. The kid told me he just got out of jail a couple of days ago and how he had overdosed on heroin and ended up in jail brokenhearted without a lot going for him. I smiled at him and said, 'That's because you were saved and spared to do great things.' God's got a plan for you, son. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. The kid went on to tell me how he never had much for parents and how he lived his whole life wanting more. We prayed right there in the PO waiting room, and he said, 'Dolly, I think you're right. I was spared for a reason.'" Why could Dolly minister to someone like that? Because she got in her spirit that, you know what? God wants to use me to tell somebody about him. And when we truly, truly believe that God wants to use me, he will use you. And you will genuinely love others. And when those opportunities arise, and we're praying, "God, open up a door today for me to talk to someone. Open a door for me to minister to someone, to help someone who's grieving." God will bring those people along. God will bring those people along. The musicians could come. God loves us. God will forgive us. God wants to bless us. God wants to use us. But do you love yourself? Have you forgiven yourself for the things in your past? Have you personalized God's willingness to bless you, to use you? Do you really love yourself? If you would stand with me. Maybe you're in this place and you've never experienced the love of God. Maybe like this kid that Dolly was with, he just messed up home, messed up life. no purpose in life. Let me tell you, God loves you. And tonight, you can experience that love for yourself. All it takes is one trip up to the front and pray and ask God, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Show me that love that I've longed for all my life. Maybe there's things in your past that you've repented of, but you really in your spirit have not forgiven yourself for making that mistake, for doing those things, for messing up in that way, for disappointing certain people. Come tonight. He wants you to forgive yourself. And if you need a blessing and if you need purpose in your life, God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. God wants to impact somebody else's life.